tweet at TodaySOR.
From securing one for your first home to making sure you're getting the best possible interest rate, there's a lot to consider when thinking about a mortgage. We know that the reluctance to switch providers can result in families spending an additional €3,500 on interest every year. Now, with me in studio for more on how to get the best value on your mortgage is financial planner Owen McGee. Owen, you're very welcome to studio.
Thanks,
again.
Sean.
First of all, just the basics. When you go about getting a mortgage, what has to be in place, I suppose, in regard to your own finances and plans?
So the big thing for people, and the thing that's difficult for people who are getting a mortgage for the first time, is the deposit. And that's a difficult one. So if you're a first-time buyer, you're going to have 10% of the purchase price. In simple maths, what that means is if you're buying a house for €300,000, you need to have €30,000. And I would argue you need to have more than that. That's how much you need to put down on the house, but then you have to cover solicitor's fees, you have to cover furniture, you have to cover all the fit-out costs, and the one that people actually get caught out on a lot, the big shop that you have to do, because you have to put brand new stuff into this house for the very first time. So there's a lot of expenses, and we often price for the big stuff, but we don't allow for the little stuff, and they add up.
I sat on a milk crate for a month in my first house before I could afford
a
table and chairs.
In the olden days, Sean.
That's the way it used to be done, yeah?
In the olden days. Yeah, well, people are actually trying to, and it's really difficult because 30,000 on a €300,000 house is a lot of money. If you're a second-time buyer, you need twice as much as that. That's a lot.
To what extent will the lender look at where you got the 30,000?
It's okay to get a gift. And one of the things people miss out on a lot is some of the government grants that are available, government schemes like the Help to Buy scheme and a couple of other things that are there. So it's okay to get it. But what they want to see is there's two things. When, if you're the bank, think about the two things you're thinking about. You're thinking about the security, which is if this person doesn't pay the loan, what's the asset? What's the house like? Are we going to be able to sell this and get our money back? So there's the security. But the second thing is the ability to repay. And nothing proves your ability to repay more than the fact that you've saved up for a deposit yourself. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be refused because you got a gift of us, but they want to see that you've been paying the money out on a regular basis, and that, and it's actually, the numbers change a bit. So I would have always said kind of 1.3 to 1.5 times the mortgage amount. What I mean by that is go and work out how much is the mortgage going to cost. And if the mortgage is going to cost you €1,000 a month, you should be saving somewhere between 1,300 and 1,500 a month. Because then when you walk into the bank, you'll be able to say to them, look, this is what I've been saving. It's only going to cost me €1,000 a month. I've been putting this out, and if things go wrong, I have plenty of scope here. But I've heard banks recently are now looking for people, if they want to get what's called an exception, they're looking for 1.6 times now. And that's a huge number.
And so you have to build up that kind of credibility over what, 6 months, a year?
I would say 12 months or more. And if you look at Rebuilding Ireland as a good example, that's the government home loan scheme, which is a superb scheme. They will not look at you unless you've got 12 months of history there showing that, yeah, you can save this amount. Now, don't get too scared. If I'm saying, let's use our €1,600 figure. If you're paying €1,200 a month in rent, that means you need to have €400 in savings on top of the €1,200. It's an ability
to repay.
Okay,
so that would be factored in.
Yes, absolutely. It's an ability to repay, to make your commitments on a month-to-month basis to 1.6 times.
And what kind of explorations are likely to be carried out on your financial records and your bank statements and so forth?
So typically, some banks will only look for 3 months. Some banks will look for 6 months bank statements, and it's across all of your accounts. So there's no point in having a little stash away account somewhere. You need to be showing them all of your accounts, and you show them that now, even if they only look at 3 months or six months, they still can go back and say, can I see the full 12 months?
And proof of income?
Proof of income is usually a payslip, a couple of payslips, and then a salary certificate. So a salary certificate is a form that your employer fills out for you. And it's a stamp and it says, yeah, this is actually the payslip, reflects what's going on.
What might be the black marks against you?
Black
or
mark,
red flags?
The big things are things like gambling. Gambling is a big one. So if you're a gambler, I'm not going to question whether you're right or wrong. And I remember actually having a guy, this was years ago, when he applied for a mortgage, and they came back and said, sorry, he has an online gambling account and we're not happy with that. And I think about it. If he's going to bet with his, or she is going to bet with their own money, they're going to bet with the bank's money, is the bank's attitude with it. So, and they said, and your man came back to me and he said, what's the problem? Sure, I'll show you my betting account. I do really well. They don't care that you do really well.
But if you can show them or illustrate that it's just a hobby and you've got a maximum of €100 a month for betting.
Yeah, do it in cash. I'm sorry, just don't. Do whatever way you want if you're not applying for a mortgage. But if you're applying for a mortgage, just don't give them that.
The
other thing is overdraft. Think about it. An overdraft is supposed to be for an emergency. If you're constantly in an overdraft, you're constantly in a state of emergency, according to the bank. So you have to be very careful about those things. Loans are a big problem. People don't realise the impact a loan has.
Missed credit card payments.
Yeah, missed credit card payments. You know what you get a lot of? Kind of people in their late 20s who went off to Australia for a year and forgot about the credit card and didn't pay it. And the bills were going in at home and nobody opened them because it wasn't their post. And then they come back and those things follow you around for 5 years.
But surely, you know, a sensible bank official, you know, meeting a potential client for a mortgage would know, look, these are the kind of things that people just do as part of, you know, rite of passage.
And this is an important point, Sean, because what I would say there is if you go in with your reason up front, great, you might actually get it past the underwriter because the underwriter wants one pass it. They want to look at it and say, yeah, I'm happy with that. They're in Australia, let them off or whatever. But if the problem is sometimes you get refused and you won't be told why you were refused. Yeah. And it could have been the credit card from 5 years ago.
Now, sorry, here's a question I just see. What about if you were renting for years and then had to move back to the parents' house to save for a few years? Would you be able to show the banks all the previous years that you had been consistently paying rent?
The more documentation you can show, the more ability to repay you can show. And that's proof of ability to repay. Just make sure when you move back in with the parents that you actually save a set amount on a month-to-month basis. It's okay to go above that, but do a set amount and add a bit extra to it if you have to.
Now, okay, supposing you got your track record, you got your payments in order, you got a very stable case. How then do you go about getting the best deal?
Well, the first thing I would do is that if you're looking for, if you're a first-time buyer, I would certainly shop around. Now, you can use a broker, and I think a broker is a great idea because their job is to look at your case, decide who is going to give you the best deal, who suits your type of employment. Self-employment can be difficult for some of the banks. Typically, you need 2 years of accounts as a self-employed person before they start looking at you. And that's just to show that everything is smoothed out. So a broker who is doing mortgages all day, every day, like we don't do mortgages in Prosperous because we don't do them all day, every day. So therefore, we pass them over to people who do them all day, every day. They'll know exactly what's going on in the market. If you're one of these people who can get their mortgage anywhere they want because you're a really strong case and you're not looking for more than you need, well, then it's likely you're just going to shop around based on rate. But there is another factor as well. Like we've seen it back in 2008, 9 and 10, the reaction of some of the banks in terms of how they dealt with people who were in difficulties, but also how they moved their interest rates up and down when the banks themselves were in difficulties. So there's lots of factors that a good broker will be able to take you. But you get your documentation together and you go and see either your bank or ideally a broker who will be able to help you out to pick the best mortgage.
But what's the kind of spread that's there? I mean, could there be a difference of, we'll say, 2.25%, you know, like you've got mortgages that vary from 2.25 to 4.5.
Yeah, massive. And if you even look at the difference, that's the difference between if you're in a mortgage already and mm-hmm. you're paying 4.5%, get out of it. Like you can switch. One of the things were really bad. There's more than 100,000 people in Ireland who could switch their mortgage today or even just get a better rate. The first step with this is to ring your own bank and say, what rate am I on? Because lots of people don't know what rate I'm on. And could you give me a cheaper rate? Now, there was legislation or central bank rules introduced last year that says the bank has to write to you and tell mm-hmm. you if there's a cheaper rate available to you with them, but they don't have to tell you about cheaper rates that are available in the market.
Yeah, but that's something that started to happen more and more. I just see some information suggesting that mortgage switching by borrowers, it's back up to the levels it was at in the early noughties.
Yes, and it is. And it's one of the things, one of the signs, you know, and you and I or anybody walking around Dublin in particular, but anywhere around the country, when you start seeing signs or billboards up that say, yeah, switch to us, we'll give you €1,500 if you move to us, or we've the cheapest rate in the market, that's a sign that the banks are really looking to rob business off other banks. And it's a good time for you if you're a switcher. Switchers, it's a reasonably easy thing to do. It could be a lot easier, but I would certainly talk to your own bank first and see if you can push it down.
Yeah, and I suppose one of the reasons why it's not higher is that people who are on tracker mortgages, there's really no incentive. And I think is it about 40% of mortgages are trackers still?
The tracker rate is a big thing because it's costing the banks a huge amount of money. But also the banks would argue that it's harder to repossess houses here. Now, I'm not going there, but it's harder to repossess houses there. So therefore, the cost of borrowing is much more expensive here. Our average cost of borrowing in September this year was 2.96%. Across Europe, if you're borrowing the same money, it would be 1.41%. Now, just to give you the numbers on that, just to get a little bit detailed here, Sean, mm-hmm. if you borrow €354,000 or just under €354,000 at 1.41 versus 2.96, you would pay €100,000 exactly extra in repayments for the 2.96 than you would at the 1.41. That's how much it's costing on a €354,000 mortgage here. That's how much extra we're paying. It's a lot of money, and people often look at the numbers and say, oh, what's the difference between 3 and 1.5? It's 100,000 euros in that case. So there's a lot of money that the banks can cream off the top of this stuff. And
yeah, well, I mean,
whatever their reason is their own reason.
If it's 3,500 a year, I mean, there's a fair bit of gathering in that. When you go back to, you know, the pre-tax income, it'd be up around 6,500, 7,000 euro.
Absolutely.
For a lot of people.
Yeah, and then you know what? For a lot of people, 3,500 euros is a very good family holiday. And there's lots of people out there not going on family holidays, but yet they're not picking up the phone to their own bank to say, can I get a cheaper rate, or moving it somewhere else.
I see one of our listeners texted in to say, to get money off a bank, and maybe what you were telling us beforehand illustrates this, to get money off a bank, you have to convince them you don't need it, quoting Oscar Wilde.
Yes, I would actually completely agree with that. Don't, if you don't need it, they'll be running at you.
Yeah, so again, just look at the, just know, you're saying, Owen, know what you're paying first and foremost.
Yeah. There's a really, really good calculator on ccpc.ie that can really put in your details, how much you're paying, how much your mortgage is, and it'll tell you how much you can save by moving to all the different banks, and there's all the up-to-date rates. It's really simple to use. You need 3 or 4 inputs and it'll give you all the information.
You say there are 100,000 mortgage holders out there who wouldn't be tracker holders. There would be people who are in a position to move and should.
Yes, absolutely. And you're leaving money. We all complain about the cost of living. We complain about you're leaving money on the table here. You could absolutely get this money and put it into your back pocket and spend it on something better. And 100,000 euros is a lot of money.
But if you're to change, I mean, you have to go through the whole complications of, you know, surveyors and all that kind
yeah.
of thing.
And it costs you money to change. A lot of the banks will throw some money at you, like 1,500 euros or 2% up front or whatever it is. They'll throw some money at you to do it. What's interesting about it is in Italy, they can do it in 6 days. Because they've sorted their legals and they've sorted their underwriting.
I think I can safely say that'll never catch on here. Before I let you go, you did the New York Marathon in recent times.
Did the New York Marathon a couple of weeks ago for Temple Street. What an experience. Incredible experience. It was my 10th marathon, my last marathon. I'm not doing another one. And it was an amazing experience. It was great to do it for Temple Street as well, actually.
Big crowds in the street?
They reckon 2 million people lined the street. And at one stage, actually, I was running along and we were going through Brooklyn, I think it was, and you're kind of 10 or 20 deep on both sides and they're all shouting at you and it feels great. And then we went into the Jewish quarter and it was completely silent. And there was even a line of kids sitting on the side of the road. They weren't clapping, they weren't anything. And it was just a surreal experience.
That's extraordinary. Any explanation
for that?
It's
just their culture and it was just an incredible experience.
Maybe
and
they're harder to impress.
Maybe I wasn't running fast enough, Sean. Maybe that was my problem.
Okay, and you raised a few bell for Temple
yeah,
Street.
Yeah, raised a few bell for Temple Street and it's great. And we're going back to Inishmore now with Temple Street in a couple of months' time to do the half marathon down there too.
So it's half marathons for
half marathon, no fulls anymore.
Okay, well look, Owen, thank you so much indeed for coming in. That's Owen McGee, Financial Planner.